an example of getting an MRI and dealing with insurance and being a payer by yourself, a self-pay person, with regard to it.
You know, I think one of the problems we have for many individuals, that they pay very little out of pocket, so there's no incentive not to go to the doctor or not to go to the emergency room or hospital or not to access the system. And, you know, if there was, you know, some barrier there, I think you might be able to save significant resources. And we were talking about a story of someone who needed an MRI and had a very high deductible insurance policy. It's what they chose. And they called the x-ray place, and how much is the MRI? It's $2,400 is what we charge the insurance company, but they pay us $1,400. Just give us $1,400. And this individual called their doctor back and said, who else has a good MRI machine? So we've got another name, called them. How much for the MRI? Explained the story. $600. They went in, got the MRI, came out to the front desk and said, how much for cash right now? $500. Now, that's a free market at work at its very core. No government oversight, no government regulation, an individual with their own resources, providing for themselves and their family, and doing it in the most cost-effective way. And it kind of brings me to, okay, well, where are we going with all of this? And I think that one of the things we ought to do is fix only what's broken in the system. We still have the best healthcare system in the world. There is no other place you'd like to be if something really bad happened to you. We have a good healthcare system, not a perfect one. You know, we're not perfect individuals. We don't have a perfect government or a perfect healthcare system. So we have some things that we need to fix. Let's fix what's broken. And especially in all of this, let's preserve Medicare. Medicare is in danger. You know, as the baby boomers start to access it, it's going to produce tremendous pressures on the system and on society. And we need to be thinking about ways to try to preserve Medicare so that the elderly, the most vulnerable in our system, in our society, have access to a good healthcare system. I think we all also ought to think about allowing experimentation among the states. There's no one-size-fits-all to this. And I think that's reflected in the difficulties that the federal government is having with this. The problems of Floridians are going to be much different than those of people from South Dakota, guaranteed, or Oregon, or Washington. So I think that you should allow the states to try to solve these problems, and then, in fact, what you will have are each state trying some things. Some will work and some won't work, but the states are smart. They're going to borrow from the people where things have worked, and they're going to use those techniques or tools, and I think we'll end up with a better system that way. In anything that we do, we want to preserve patient choice. We want to preserve the sanctity, I would think of it as, the physician-patient relationship. When you go see the doctor, you want to make sure when the doctor says, I don't think you need this drug, it's because they really don't think you need it, not because the government has said, we don't want you to prescribe any more of this drug this month, it's too expensive.
Mm.
That happens overseas.
And
it's, you know, it's the kind of thing hidden from everyone until you hear the anecdotes of people who go through an experience. I'm sorry, you're not going to have an x-ray, or you'll be on the list of people getting x-rays. If the doctor doesn't think you need it, that's fine, but the doctor should be working for you, should be your advocate, and that's something that's important. The Florida Medical Association is going to work very hard to preserve. And then we've talked about tort reform. I mean, everybody loves to bash the lawyers. Listen, they have their place. They're important. It's important to compensate people fairly when they're injured. You know, no one argues with that, but there have to be more efficient ways of doing that, and there are some states, Texas and California, for example, that have addressed this very successfully. People have access to the courts. They get compensated fairly. So there are ways of doing that. Florida has to really look hard at that in the future if we're going to continue to attract people to our state to practice. We need physicians to come into this state to replace not only those us old guys who are and gals who are retiring, but to take care of people who are aging and for new people coming in. So I think that's my small summary of where we've been. It's a difficult, complicated area. The only thing I can promise you is I don't have all the answers. We know what some of the problems are. We're trying hard to help our policymakers address the issues in a very fiscally sound manner that's not going to bankrupt the country or future generations. And we really depend on all citizens because we all have a stake in this. We're all patients. Even doctors are patients. I'm a patient. We have a stake in this, and it'd be very important during this recess time for individuals to try to make contact with their elected officials and express their views on this subject.
And this, I try not to be partisan. You might say, well, I'm partisan because I'm extreme right. I'm so conservative. Conservative thinks think I'm liberal, and I'm so liberal. Liberals can think that I'm conservative. It's just, hopefully I'm right on center, and it's just mind-boggling. It's like when light is altogether in phase, it shows itself as white, you know, blinding, instead of a little red, a little purple. Okay, we're not either red or purple. We're not either end of the spectrum. We're trying to stay on center, so it sometimes seems a little bit strange to people. This is what Dr. Carl Altenberger said. Fix only that which is broken. Preserve the medical care system to those who are already obligated to be taken care of. And also, folks, of course, part of the problem is, in the meantime, until that's fixed, honor your father and mother. So it'll be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Here we go. The state's experiment. You got 50 or more laboratories that can check some of this stuff out depending on how it best suits them. Preserve the sanctity of the physician-patient relationship. And, of course, tort reasonable and rational tort reform, not overbearing, let's control everything. And so one of the things that Dr. Carl Altenberger and I talked about, this was kind of on the side, we're being personal, and it was, we look at right now in the political system, you have the Democrats, Republicans in the House, you don't have a lot of Republicans, and they can go there with, basically taking what Dr. Altenberger just said, they could take that to the Republican guy and they could nod. And guess what? Doesn't matter. Unless you can get your person on the other side of the aisle to even consider some of these same things, guess what? There could just be catastrophe. And then what are you going to have to do? You have some revolution where you're ousting everybody in Congress. And who knows what kind of catastrophe that'll start. So I just really, our word for the folks today is, I think what he said was good. And we're trying to do this as a community service, not be slamming one side or the other, but to talk about what are the needs. And what do you think somebody who's actually in this realm, somebody who's a patient, who's a doctor, who's involved with dealing with the whole industry of healthcare, what is your perspective? And we've heard from Dr. Carl Altenberger today from Florida Medical Association. And again, he said, fix only that which is broken. Preserve Medicare for the folks that really need it. State experimentation. Let's have laboratories across the nation in various states, depending on the need. Preserve the sanctity of the physician and the patient relationship. Tort reform is certainly a concern, so that you're not, and I've been in the courts, so I know what that's like, where you're basically ruining all your assets to make a point, and then you spend 10 years, and the only person who's getting rewarded is the lawyers on both sides. And of course, who knows what happened to the patient? It very well may have been able to be dealt with on a reasonable basis without going through all that hassle. Okay, we've got about 3 minutes or so, Dr. Altenberger. You've got it. What do you think? You kind of summarized, and you probably played that up pretty good. Is there anything else you'd like to say to your neighbors?
Well, again, I think we can address this and solve it. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-all. I think that's to me is the clear message. And if patients had the power and they had the authority, I think we'd be able to control healthcare costs a lot better. I think that you'd have more choices about physicians. We ought to get back to having more freedom for individuals to see the physicians they want. I think coverage for catastrophic illness is always required. We need to bring transparency and accountability to the health insurance industry. It's a huge industry, and we somehow need to get kind of back to that, helping the public understand, why their rates went up 15% this past year. Why is that? And let's just, tell the truth to people about what's really going on and what's driving healthcare costs. I think that will help everyone understand the issue's a lot better. And if everybody had a stake in it, if it was their money, their resources through a health savings account provided by your employer or by the government for those who couldn't afford one. You, the individual patient, I believe would make better choices by and large.
Is there urgency to keep a one-size-fits-all from happening right now, do you think?
Well, I think, again, it's very this is a problem that's very difficult to improve, but very easy to make worse. Very easy. And if there are missteps along the way, and some of the things that were in the House bill are just will be a disaster for health care in this country. You talk about really removing choices and, you know, bringing basically the worst of socialized systems to America. You know, we could wake up one day and things are so bad that we're going to have major rationing. And I'm concerned about it. When I listen to some of our policymakers and they say, you know, there have to be times when you say, just you know, go, here's a pill, go home, and we're not going to do anything about it.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's not the reason I went to medical school.
Right.
Now, there are times when, in consultation with a family, look, it's an end-of-life issue. That's different. We have hospice. It functions very well. Those people do wonderful work. And there are other issues, end-of-life issues, that we have to address. But who? I don't want the federal government making that decision. I want that decision to be made by the patient, their family, in consultation with their physician. And so that's what we have to try to preserve. Otherwise, we're going to end up the way the British have it, which really literally is, here, take a pill, go home, and die.
Hmm.
And I don't think that the government is suited to make those kind of decisions.
And we have done some wild leaps forward in medicine trying to help somebody, even in a what it seems that there's a no-win situation. Well, let's just go for it and hope for the best.
Look, I'll give you this example. I was reluctant to do it, but okay. I'm going to close with this example. In 1972, when I was in medical school, I took care of a young man who had a lymphoma, and he was dead in 6 months.
Wow.
In 2000, I was diagnosed as having a lymphoma. All right, it's 2009. I'm still here and still ticking and still productive. Great joy to my family and an irritation to some, no doubt. But, you know, here I am. And why? Because drug companies took some risks and developed products that allowed this disease to be controlled. What we have been successful in doing over the last 40 years, very successful.
We got to wrap it up.
Is taking acute deadly illnesses and turning it into chronic expensive illnesses.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Carl Altenberger. And it's good to have a cantankerous old coot like you still around so that we can train ourselves to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Take that as a compliment.
So we thank you. Hey, folks, you've been listening to the Faith and Freedom Show, and tune in again on Monday. We're going to keep dealing with these issues on a substantive basis, and we're looking forward to making a difference in your life, in our life, and in our country, and everything around us. Love your neighbor as yourself. We shall be back.